Come, come, pray with me. Let's pray together. God of life, your Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Your Spirit inspired the prophets and writers of Scriptures. Your Spirit draws us to Christ and help us to acknowledge Him as Lord. We ask that you will send your Spirit now to give us deeper insight, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of the Gospel, even after Easter Sunday. O Lord, help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help my brothers and sisters, the congregation of Maranatha, to listen to you. Help them to go beyond me, Lord Jesus. Speak to me, speak to them. O Lord, hear our prayer. And all God's people said, Amen, amen. So let me start with this funny story. This is dinner time. And grandma say, okay, kids, wash your hands. Get those germs off your hands. Get your germs off those hands. Right. The little boy was washing his hands in the midst of shaking it, you know, and then wiping it. In the midst of it, he just looks and says, germs and Jesus, germs and Jesus. What are they talking about? I've not seen none of those. When we talk about Jesus, he's omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere. Amen? Omniscient, omnipresent. Of course, the little boy has never seen neither germs nor Jesus. In God's due time, God will help him see. It's the grace of God that helps us see. No doubt, no fear. Yes, the little boy was right. It's hard to see Jesus. Faith comes from God. It's God who chose us. It's His grace that touched us. He chose us first. We didn't choose Him. It's His grace. By His grace alone. And by faith alone. It's by grace through faith we are saved. Yes, it's hard to believe something that we don't see. But let's go back for that particular Sunday evening. The chaos, the confusion, the fear that gripped the disciple that Sunday evening. That's where we want to focus. While the world outside was rejoicing, the disciples were there weeping, mourning, and grieving. They were still inside a locked room in Jerusalem. Yes, they were trembling with fear and worried for their lives. Brothers and sisters, think about that. They were fearing, they were trembling, they were worried for their lives. The enemies of Jesus, the Jews, the leaders, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and the temple authorities could come anytime, knocking on the door and arresting them. That's why they were fearing and they were trembling. Remember, 3 days ago, they crucified their Lord. They had seen the tragic death of the Lord on the cross. They also could have same fate. Therefore, they concealed themselves by the shut doors. They were trembling with fear. Yet, no matter how much fear was trying to paralyze them, harass them, they refused to give up. They were trembling, yet they did not quit the fellowship. They did not quit to assemble together, and they did not submit to their fears. But that day, Thomas, Bible calls his name, also known as Didymus, Thomas gave into the fear. He was not there that day. Thomas had committed to follow Jesus. He showed loyalty even when he knew following Jesus meant that he might lose his life. Read John chapter 11, verse 6. Chapter 11, verse 6. He was known to be a doubting disciple. He's been known among brothers, a doubting disciple. When the Lord was sharing his departure, he acknowledged the Lord's departure. He asked him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" The Lord clarified his doubt and pessimism when he answered, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Lord clarified his doubt. John chapter 14, verse 6. Thomas was absent from that Sunday evening's assembly. He too was gripped by fear, while others mustered up their courage to gather together. He began to indulge in the fear. He gave in to fear. Thomas gave in to fear. As a result, the fear seized him, yes, making him less courageous to assemble with the brothers. He was absent in the fellowship. The gentle Lord no longer wanted to keep these disciples in suspense till late evening that Sunday morning, that Sunday. He revealed himself to them and assured them of new life in him. All except Thomas got to see the risen Lord, because now we know that Thomas had wandered away. Therefore, brothers and sisters, wandering away from fellowship is not good news. When you do that, you're going to be more paralyzed, you're going to be more harassed, and you're going to be more seized by the fear. Do not forsake the assembly. Do not give in to fear. No matter how much fear tries to grip you, learn to say no to fear and remain together in the assembly of brothers and sisters. Do everything you can to come to fellowship. Learn to say no to fear. Do not indulge in fear. Do everything you can not to withdraw yourself from the unity of your church fellowship. Come to fellowship. Come. You are always welcome here. Come Sunday early in the morning. Come Wednesday evening. Spend time alone with God's word. Pray. When fear attacks you, when fear here harasses you, speak the name of Jesus. Say Jesus. If you cannot remember anything, remember Jesus. There has been many, many experiences in my life when things stir up and when things start going crazy, I know that name is above all names. Speak the name of Jesus. So listen to this story by a man called Hurley Allen. John Michael Montgomery sang a ballad song, The Little Girl. He told the sad story of a little girl. She hid behind the couch every time her drug-addicted mother and alcoholic father fought with each other. They never spoke of the Lord except in vain. Her parents eventually died in a murder-suicide. Listen to this. Later, the state placed the child in a foster home. Her foster home parents loved her a lot. She got kisses and hugs every day. She was spoiled. They loved her very much, those foster parents. They were faithful Christians, those foster parents were, who'd rarely miss their church. One day, the foster parent took the little girl to Sunday school where she saw a picture of Jesus hanging on a cross. And she smiled. The Sunday school teacher asked, "Do you know his name?" The little girl said, "I don't know his name. But I know he got off from the cross because he was in my old house. He held me close to his side as I hid behind our couch when my parents died." That's the resurrected Lord Jesus. When that little girl was hiding on the couch when parents were fighting each other, alcoholic parents, out of control, and murder suicide, and they died. She was gripped with fear. She looked on the cross. And someone descended from the cross and came and hugged. That is the resurrected Lord. He is alive. He is alive, alive. Amen? He is alive. Are you gripped with fear? Remember him. We may not have encountered such a horrendous tragedy as the little girl did in her, as her parents died in front of her very eyes. However, we all may have stories to tell about how we are gripped by it at some point or another in our lives when fear attacks us. Fear has a paralyzing, it paralyzes us. It has a paralyzing tendency. We become numb when fear attacks us, when fear harasses us. We all have our stories, and we could connect with the little girl and how the Lord took care of us during those moments of walking through the valleys of shadow, of fear, pain, suffering, loneliness, losing our loved ones, and even death, walking through the valley of shadow of death. When we summoned the Lord, we could testify how Christ's Spirit came and comforted us on our side of the cross, this side of the cross. He is alive. He is alive. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere and he knows all things. Brothers and sisters, when fear grips you, speak the name of Jesus. Must believers today, especially the minister of the gospel, who are caught in the persecuted areas of the world, feel no different than what the disciples were feeling that day in by the locked doors, inside that locked doors, behind that locked doors. John 11 points us out, that Lazarus' story was about a dead man. Yes, we know that. Lazarus's family member, friends, and two sisters were mourning until Jesus showed up. We know that it had been 4 days. We know that. And by then, the body was decomposing and probably even already stinking. Jesus pulled the man back to life from the tomb. John chapter 11, verse 25, it declares that he himself is the resurrection and life. Jesus is the resurrection and life. He himself is the resurrection and life. And he asked the dead man, Lazarus' sister, Mary, do you believe this? I am the resurrection and life, he said. Yes, so Jesus performed this miracle to foreshadow his resurrection and the shocking recovery from the death. Have you tried those appetizers when you go to Olive Garden? That's what I remember here. It's appetizer. It's a casting. We call it a casting. Back in the old days when we see the big screen and the new movie is coming, casting. It's a foretaste. The real movie is coming this summer, but look at this forecast. Casting, right? Foretaste, the appetizer. That's what happened. I am the resurrection and life. Mary, do you believe this? Yes. The risen Lord did enter and demonstrated his divinity in front of his disciples that Sunday evening. The same Lord suddenly stood among his disciples who said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. Suddenly, behind the shut doors, Jesus showed up, stood among his disciples. Even the doors had been shut. Amen. His poor disciples were grieving and were engulfed by fear, paralyzed, numb. Yes, the Lord intended to help them believe in his resurrection. He wanted to see them happy. He didn't wait until late evening, because all-knowing God, all-present God, glorified Lord Jesus Christ, came and was present among them. Christ wanted to assure the disciple that he had risen. For this reason he had come. For this very reason he had come. And he stood among them and said, peace, peace be with you. We greet each other this morning. Peace be with you. Amen? Peace be with you. Then he showed them his hands, nail-pierced hand, and his sides. Yes. All their griefs, all their fears caused due to the death of Christ, the horrible death of Christ on the cross, just a few days ago, immediately turned into joy. Amen. Turn into joy. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. This time, the Lord drew their attention to tell them what he would share with them was a very important thing. He said, as the Father has sent me, so I sent you, he said. Amen. To establish his kingdom in the world. The main mission was to ordain and appoint his apostles. His apostles. That includes us, all of us, his apostles. His ministers. That was his mission. As the Father has sent me, so I sent you. He wanted to appoint them. By this, the Lord was changing their previous roles. From simply being his witness to him, what were they doing? They were doing witnessing to all while he was still on earth. It's like Christ is teacher of all teachers. He's supreme teachers. That's what they were witnessing. Now, shifting the gear, moving to the next level. He was letting the disciples know, just as the Father had appointed him, and he is now committed to being a teacher. He was committed. He is committed to being a teacher, a supreme teacher for them. Yes, not just for those 33 years, especially those 3 years. Now he's a forever a good teacher, amazing teacher, a supreme teacher, teacher of all teachers, preachers of all preachers. He's the high priest. And he wanted the work to be continued. And he was appointing them. Just as the Father has sent me, so I sent you. Amen? Therefore, he wanted the apostles to know that he was going to give the same office. And he wanted to fill his room with persons later, like Apostle Paul, and later, other apostles, later, other evangelists, and later, pastors and teachers, Sunday school teachers, the evangelists, the outreach ministers, all those to govern the affairs of the church till the end comes. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. His disciples understood that Christ spoke with his mouth, and when he was on the earth after the resurrection, he now says by his apostles, speaks by his apostles. However, he's constantly continuing. Yes, there are teachers, appointed teachers, sent apostles. But he also wanted to let the disciple know, yes, he's still the teacher. Teacher of the church, the only supreme teacher of the church. He alone atoned the sin. He alone procured the justification. Yes, not his disciples. They learned that they are Christ's apostles, the sent ones. They learned that they are Christ's ministers, and Christ's full authority works through them when they encounter this living Lord Jesus, this risen Lord Jesus. They learn that they are appointed to become his ministers, his minister of the gospel. And with that, after they knew all that, Christ breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he breathes on them. The Lord knew that no man is qualified for discharging to be his ordinary ministers of the gospel unless he prepares them by the grace of his Holy Spirit. The disciple learned that Christ alone appoints, Christ alone inspires, and Christ alone guides. The disciple knew what to do. The disciple knew what is their ministry. And disciple knew that it takes the Holy Spirit. It takes breathing of the Lord Jesus Christ, breathing of the Lord's Spirit. They knew. It is Christ who pours out his Spirit upon each person. Then and even now, it is Christ who pours out his Spirit upon each person according to the specific measures. He sprinkled them with his Holy Spirit by his grace that day, but the full descending of the Holy Spirit happened on the day Pentecost, amen, and renewed them all fully. The Lord fulfilled his promise of sending his Spirit, which he previously shared about. He had received the same Spirit from the Father, and the same Spirit was bestowed, the same Spirit was sent to his disciples. If you forgive anyone's sin, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. It is Christ who forgives sins through his apostles and ministers. Through his free grace, God makes the salvation of man, which consists of forgiveness. God enlightens. It's God who regenerates us by His Holy Spirit, making us new to His image. And it is God who arms us with unshaken firmness. It is God who removes fear from us. Therefore, we must give earnest attention to this matter. This matter that what we learned today, the Father has sent me, so I sent you. The apostle learned from the Lord these things. His disciples were in the house again a week later, yes. And Thomas was with them. John 20, chapter 20, verse 26, first part. The Lord Jesus earnestly desired to promote Thomas's faith. He was doubting, so God was promoting his faith. Jesus was promoting his faith. So it may be confirmed. The Lord knew the evidence Thomas was asking. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Didn't that happen the first week, what he said? And the Lord knew it. All-knowing God, amen? Thomas was not satisfied merely seeing Christ, but he wanted to put his finger where the nails were, where the marks of the nail pierce were, and he wanted to put his hand on his side. Remember where they jabbed, you know, the spears, and the blood and water was flowing. He wanted to touch that. He wanted to put his finger in that hole. Yeah, I get the picture. Even after seeing Christ, he boldly stretched forth his hand and did not repent. Finally, he convinced himself after he touched the Lord. The Lord urged him, saying, "Stop doubting and believe." In Greek, it means, "Do not become unbelieving, apistos, but believing, pistos." The Lord rebuked Thomas to be like the rest of the believers because he did not embrace the risen Lord the way other disciples did. The Lord rebuked him not being like other disciples. Finally, the most obstinate, the most skeptic, the most doubtful disciple uttered the greatest confession of all times. My Lord, my God. Amen? My Lord, my God. Can we do that? I don't have any problem with my knees. They are strong. I say, my Lord, my God. Amen? We need to do that every single day. My Lord, my God. That's the greatest confession ever made. The most obstinate, skeptic, and doubtful disciple did that. Jesus showed us from his remark in John chapter 20, verse 29, the first part, that his faith was based on sight and blessed him for his faith. Thomas's faith was based on sight, and because you have seen me, you have believed. However, the Lord appoints out to others who believe in him, the Lord points out to others who believe him without seeing and speaks blessings to them that day. That included us. The risen Lord was blessing the next generation of believers. Generations after generations, those believers who will believe in the future. The world of the church, including believers who believed in Christ, not by sight, but by hearing the word testified by the apostles. That includes us. In the end, John reminds us of many signs that the Lord Jesus performed in front of the disciples. Remember John chapter 20, verse 30. The other disciple, he said, was himself John. There are many signs and wonders were done which he says was not recorded. John chapter 20, verse 31, the word believe in Greek, yes, pistos. It has two different spellings, all right? There is a difference in the meaning of the verb. Some manuscript record this verb as present subjunctive. Now it's, you know, grammar and all Greek stuff, right? Present subjunctive form, pistoutei. Greek is very odd, Dave knows. Pistoutei, which means that you may continue to believe. Yet other records in the form is also aorist subjunctive, what we called pisteousete, which means that you come to believe. So here the verb tense indicates John's aims. What was his goal? What was his aim? His words of encouragement and his words of evangelism. He wanted to encourage believers who read his gospel to go deeper. Those who have already become believers, he's asking them to go deeper. Amen? Go deeper. Continue to believe. The second goal of his writing gospel was, as he was testifying Thomas, doubting Thomas, he wanted, the gospel was to evangelize so that his readers come to believe. So what he's saying, his aim, John's aim was like, are you believers? Those of you who are deep believers? Well, continue to be a deeper, serious believer. Go dive deeper, no more. But those of you who hasn't heard yet, now he reminds us, as the Father sent me, so I sent you. Go out there. Share the good news. Amen? Amen. So your prayers, your little Bible study, all matters. Amen? All matters. So those who have become a deep, serious disciple, become a deep, serious, deep disciple. But those of you who want to go out and share the good news. Amen? So, now, he discloses why he wrote the gospel. Yes, that was the last verse of the day, 20:31. He urges all of us to continue to believe in the Messiah, the Son of God, because this belief can lead to life and life eternal, amen? Eternal life, you see how important it is. And this life is a gift given to us through the power of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have Son have life, and those who do not have Son do not have life. Amen? Therefore, how important it is to go deeper and learn these words. And how important it is to receive it. Say, my Lord, my God. Amen? And take it seriously, the word of God. Go deeper. Ask God to help you understand. Have a wonderful connection, faithful discipleship with the Lord himself through his word. And then after you receive, listen to the instruction. Go out and witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. When the power comes to you, when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you will have power. And when you have power, you will have witness. Isn't that the same thing? Story of the whole Bible, book of Acts. You will have power. You will witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. That includes us here. Amen? So, in the world we live today, Thomas's story is a gift for people. John challenges us. The other disciple, who he liked to call himself the other disciple, he challenges us, brothers and sisters, to believe the way Thomas did. We may not have the same opportunity as the disciple, for they saw the risen Lord, yes. But he points out what Jesus has said. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. Blessed are those, all of us, who have not seen yet believed. Who have not seen yet believed, amen? We are blessed people. Therefore, The opening story of this calling little boy, remember? Germs and Jesus, I haven't seen those. Remember, he does remind us, it may not be possible for us to see Jesus except through our beliefs, except through his grace. And worse yet, knowing him, learning him, going deeper in the word, yet ignoring to go out and evangelize and share and witness. That's being worse than the little boy who was calling, German Jesus. I have seen none of those. The Father has sent me, so I sent you. Brothers and sisters, are you ready to go? Saying that I know Jesus, I am a Christian, but not living that faith doesn't tell a lot of good news about us. We have good news to break, so go. Amen? Jesus says, Father sent me, so I sent you. And he breathed, Holy Spirit, receive it. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So as modern day apostle, the sent one, we could promote the ministry of the gospel, which can be forwarded by teaching, by evangelizing a people. You know? Yes, Thomas was slow and obstinate, and other disciples. But you know, skeptic and slow, always doubting. My Lord, my God. I would rather be skeptic and doubtful. And when I go, I want to go full force. How about you? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you for your mercy, your kindness, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, our God, you've given to us the glorious gospel of our risen Savior and Master. Grant that as we joyfully receive the good news for ourselves, so we may gratefully share with others and ever give glory to you. By your grace alone, we are what we are through the same Jesus, the resurrected one among us, even our Lord. And all God's people say, Amen.